Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, it's the Philosophy Show. Today is August 20th. It's 3 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, midnight Pacific Standard Time, Wednesday night, Thursday morning. It's the Philosophy Show. My name is Thomas, your host. Today's show is called Test. What bubble or box do you live in? And someone's got to do it. I'm sure you've heard that expression. Well, somebody's got to do it. And I guess that's part of living in a bubble, too. And then, of course, we have open phones, love, advice, life, events, science, the unknown. It's our 101st episode, and if you want to call in, call us at area code 646-929-1344. And it's a half an hour show today. And so welcome, and kick this off. It's just exercise our brain and kind of brainstorm all the different bubbles we can live in. And let me give you an example of one that I've lived in. I remember a long time ago, maybe about 20 years ago or something, I was at this party and it was it wasn't 20 years ago. It was right before the Bush, is the election of the year 2000. And I was debating this girl at this party about who'd be better, Bush or Al Gore. And I was really, actually, I think I was supporting like a third party candidate, and she was arguing that no, you can't support a third party candidate because that could hurt Al Gore, and then, you know, Bush would become president. And I was like, you know, I was definitely against Al Gore, and this was before the elections, and I thought, you know, I didn't vote for Bush, but I thought he was somewhat the lesser two evils. I was probably wrong on that. And her main case was, you know, about the abortion issue. She's like, oh, well, if Bush is president, he's going to pass Supreme Court justices and he's going to make abortion illegal. And as a woman, she was feeling that, you know, her rights to choice would be limited. Now, that never happened. Bush did become president, and he did. I admit that was a total wrong choice. He killed a lot more people with his wars and a lot more of our rights with the Patriot Act and taking away our freedoms. I mean, we virtually don't have our Constitution anymore, thanks to Bush and Obama. And so my bubble was, you know, I was, you know, I really thought Al Gore had such a big ego and that, you know, and he might have been worse. We don't know. I mean, he never was given the opportunity. But and maybe he would have done the same things. You never know 100%. But and we got in a heated argument. And I was like, well, you know, I don't actually support either of them. I think I'm just going to vote a third party. And her opinion about the abortion issue was so strong. I mean, she was like in tears. And I was like pretty upset too, almost in tears. And I wasn't 100% like, another bubble is the whole abortion thing. You know, there was a point in my life when I was in my early teens and stuff that I was thinking, you know, everyone has a right to life. And so what about the rights of the person in the womb? Now, I currently hold a position that the government should have nothing to do with it. You know, for guys who don't don't think a woman should have a right to choose. I mean, imagine if you're pregnant and, you know, I mean, and if it was rape or incest or something, and incest really should be just called rape. I mean, what if, I mean, just because it's incest, I think that's wrong. You know, you might be upping the chances of someone turning out disabled or something, but I'm sure there are people that do get married that way in some cultures, and they don't even want to have an abortion. So the main thing is, you know, rape, and, you know, women should have definitely a right to choose there, and she should have a right to choose anywhere. I mean, all you have to do is put yourself in a perspective of what if you could get impregnated and had to go through with that. And I don't think it should be the hands of the government. I don't think we should pay for abortions, but I don't think we should tell other people how to handle what's happening in their bodies. And it's really a matter of perspective. Some people are saying, what about the right of the unborn? And you know, from their perspective, that's all they've probably ever been taught or heard. I don't think that they have really considered that objective. And obviously by name calling back and forth, you know, we're not arguing the issues. We're just calling each other's names. So now that their ego is hurt, they have to defend and justify, you know, their logic. And that's another thing. I mean, you know, after the war, there's this perspective, in Iraq after 9/11, you know, and I even had it too. I mean, of like, you know, well, anyone that's opposing the war, you know, and if they get beat up or something, you know, if they were of Arab descent or something, you know, they're just, I mean, if they were protesting, they were just, you know, asking for it. And that changed, though. As soon as they passed the Patriot Act, I saw anything called the Patriot Act, I saw right through it. And I was like, yeah, this is a Orwellian nightmare. And another thing is when Obama became president. I mean, you know, I evolved on the abortion issue, you know, because I was able to put myself in someone else's shoes, live in someone else's bubble, per se. And there's so many bubbles. We're going to go through bubbles today just to test yourself to see maybe if you're in one of these bubbles. Because there's so many of them, politically, in everyday life. You know, I was totally against Obama. I saw right through him. Could tell he's a politician. He's not going to change anything. He hasn't changed anything. The only thing you could possibly say is health insurance. What he did is just force us all to purchase private insurance. I mean, there's no public option or anything, and you're just going to get fined if you don't buy it. So if you don't get it, you're just in a worse off situation than you ever were. If you don't buy it, especially if you couldn't afford it, you can't afford even more. So that's kind of tough. I mean, and because it's now even more expensive, you have a mandate and you get a fine if you don't pay it. And you couldn't afford it in the first place. So, you know, he's just forcing you to buy from a private company. And so, you know, he's continued a lot of the civil liberty losses. He looks like he's going somewhat in the right direction on some things. I mean, the only good thing I think he has is he put up on the White House website where you can petition for things. And if it gets so many votes, he'll address them. So there's like a petition thing on his website where people can share ideas with the president. And if it gets 100,000 like people that are interested in that idea, he'll address it publicly. And I think that's a good idea. Hope they continue that. You know, I do think creating a deal with Iran is a good idea. But there isn't a whole lot else. I mean, if you look at civil liberties, I mean, he has the indefinite detention. If you look at the trade deals, he's trying to pass the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. You know, if you look at a lot of the wars and the military spending, you know, that's all about the same. And right now he went back to the sequester, which is it stopped the Bush tax cuts and sets in some automatic cuts. I think that's probably a good thing, but it's just a continuation of Bush. Now there's people on both sides of that. There's people like, oh no, and I do think it's good that we have a black president. I mean, just in itself to give other people hope, but I wish it was, someone else, like a maybe a Cornel West or someone, someone who would make some real change and has some real principle and conviction and is open-minded to talking to people of different persuasions. I mean, so many people, it seems like they want to just preach to the choir. I want to open up. I mean, have empathy, put myself in other people's bubbles. Why would you want to see what kind of bubble you're in? I mean, do you want to just preach to the choir, or do you want to expand your perspective? And it doesn't mean you have to eventually embrace it. I mean, we can look at some other perspectives about Trump and the immigration issue, and the Israeli-Palestinian issue, just between Republicans and Democrats, women's health issues about their own body, the war on drugs. I mean, let's look at the war on drugs. There's a story the other day about a guy who was caught with two joints, and he's getting like 15 years in prison in Louisiana, and he has kids, and he has his own restaurant business. Got caught with two joints, and while Obama has had admitted to doing the same thing, so has President Bush and Clinton, and nothing's happened to them. So I think, and there's some people will be like, oh yeah, rightly so, or we have to make examples. I mean, seriously, you're going to take these kids' fathers away? And then in Colorado, someone could do the exact same thing because they legalized it in that state. And they wouldn't get any trouble. I think, like, the least of what should happen to this guy is he should have an option to at least move to a state where what he did, if it would be legal in that state, he should have a right to either. This is at the harshest thing, I think. He should either have to stay, if he has to stay in Louisiana and they're going to put him in prison, he should at least have the right to move out of Louisiana in a state where it would have been legal. He should at least, the judge should say, we're going to give you 15 years, but if you want to move to Colorado where what you did would have been okay and not illegal, then you can at least do that. Should at least have that choice. That way, he wouldn't have to spend 15 years in prison for a nonviolent crime. The only one that advantages is private prisons. I mean, I think people who think that people should be jailing other people for what 50% of people in polls have admitted to doing at one time in their life, where there's total unequal administration of the laws and execution of laws. Is they should be the ones that have to go arrest this guy and try to put him in jail. And he should have every right to defend himself. I mean, why pay the government to do your dirty work for you? And I'm not total anti-government. Some people are, assuming, oh, okay, I hear some libertarian strain there. This guy is anti-government. I think the government should be things, all the parts of the government where the, people who work for it don't carry guns are all good services. Medicare, Social Security, and maybe some environmental things. And that's about it. I saw on this one show, I mean, I think we should have firefighters or police, but that's all at a local level, and we should have a military, but they shouldn't even be in this country. They should be, or they should be on the borders, maybe, but. That's their job is to defend the country, not, police it or anything. So that doesn't really should affect us on a day-to-day thing anyways. They shouldn't be put in wars. They're unjust. What about perspectives from animals? And perspectives of people who are vegetarians or who aren't. are people who are against GMOs, genetically modified organisms, or who aren't. You know, if you're a corporate interest or some kind of shell versus someone who loves freedom and takes it very seriously, and loves the Bill of Rights. Some people are like, oh, but we got to fight terrorism. You know, there's could be a terrorist. You know, I knew people who were in New York City on that day. And I have relatives in New York, too. And, you know, and I was kind of gung-ho at the beginning of that whole thing after 2001. At first, until they passed the Patriot Act, and I saw right through it. But, and then once we got into Iraq, you know, they always need a boogeyman out there. So we have to live in fear. I mean, Eisenhower warned us that the military-industrial complex, which is where most of our money goes, we spend more than like the next 25 countries combined. I say we should spend more than the next 10 countries combined. And then the other 15 countries, we could use that to pay down the debt or for other constructive things instead of destructive things. That's just me. The main thing is to realize we live in a democracy, and some people say democracy is two wolves. It's two wolves and a sheep voting on, you know, what's for dinner. Ha, ha, ha. I see it in a different way. It's more like, you know, when people say we're going to put everyone in a room and not let them out till they figure it out. Well, that's what democracy is. We're stuck with these people. Some people you might consider total stupid, you know, but they have as much of a vote as you do. And we have to live with them. And that's what democracy technically really is. And I think, you know, we can learn from things. You might not totally be persuaded all the way to the other person's perspective, but you might a little bit, or could be persuaded. I mean, so there's so many different opinions. I mean, do you realize how much of a bubble you're in? I'm sure I'm in a bubble. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, I take very seriously the Bill of Rights. That's why we are living in the first place. We have the right to freedom of speech, freedom of expression, freedom to share what's in your spirit and soul. That's the First Amendment. The freedom of the press. You know, freedom to speak openly and organize and congregate with who you want to. I mean, that's an absolute given freedom. You can't have, life's not worth living without being able to live and speak freely and associate and have true debates and intellectual honesty. And then the Second Amendment's a freedom to defend yourself, to carry a gun. Future could be lasers, but to be able to defend yourself from anyone. You know, it's kind of like, I don't hurt you, but if you step on my toes, then I have a right to defend myself. You know, if you come on my property to, you know, someone smoked two joints, to try to put them in a box for 15 years, take them away from their kids for something that never hurt anyone, that person should have a right to defend themselves. You know, but we're complicit. I mean, you pay taxes in that city, you're contributing to it. And if you're not speaking out against it or trying to help this guy, then you're causing it somewhat. And so, but, I mean, people, like any of those positions I just mentioned earlier, do you find yourself in one of those? And are you sure that you're right? I mean, people who say, well, someone's got to do it, you know, they're living in such a bubble where they're going to take action on it at, you know, when no one else is doing it. Some people don't realize what an authoritarian they are. I mean, virtually every right that we have in the Bill of Rights has pretty much been destroyed since 9/11. I mean, if you take the First Amendment, you know, you can go to prison for freedom of speech. You look at these things people are saying on, like, Facebook and stuff like that. Now, I know you can't create fire in a theater, and I'm not talking about that, but there's plenty of examples where people have spoken out politically and they're political prisoners. And so the Second Amendment, Actually, that one is one of the ones that has kind of stayed true. You know, a lot of people could say the people who are wanting gun rights taken away, saying that causes all the violence. I disagree. I think it's you know, the person that does. If you want to, there's more police violence than anything. You know, there's more violence of putting people in jail like that, which happens with your tax dollars. But oh yeah, you don't want to talk about that. You don't want to admit that or confront that or look at yourself in the mirror. That's the thing. Look at yourself in the mirror. You're paying taxes. There's more people. Oh, there's hardly anyone in prison for drugs. That's the number one reason people are in there. That's a fact. Some people, I've debated people about this. They just can't believe it. They're not informed. They have no stats. They haven't looked up the actual statistics, but America has more people in prison than any other country, and most of them are for nonviolent drug usage, like marijuana and stuff like that, or cannabis. We have more people in prison on a percentage rate and an actual number rate. We have more people in prison than China. We have more people in prison than Russia. We have more people in prison than any other country. The two biggest stats that we have are not the amount of college-educated people we have, or other positive things, or people with good health, or people that have health insurance. It's the number one country that has the most prisoners, and we spend the most on the military over the next 25 countries combined. I mean, that's including Russia, China, all, you know, Europe, Germany. I mean, all these countries. Those are our two biggest stats that we're number one in, and so the First Amendment has definitely, it's still alive. People still recognize it, the Second Amendment. But let's see, the Third Amendment is, let me see here. I'm trying to look at a list. The Bill of Rights. And I'm on. Okay, so First Amendment, we obviously know what that is. The second, the third, no soldier shall in time of peace be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. And actually, there have been some cases where cops needed to stake out someplace and they forced the owner to allow them in their house overnight so they could spy on their neighbors. And the police nowadays look like the military. The Fourth Amendment, the right of the people should be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures, shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issue upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. And you know, you need a warrant from a judge. Now cops can pretty much just barge into any house that they want, just under, you know, thinking that they smelt something a block away. You know, people can be stopped and frisked in New York City for no probable cause without any warrant. People's cars can be pulled over and searched. People's phones can be looked at and stuff taken out. I mean, we don't have any Fourth Amendments left, hardly. We need to get it back. Fifth Amendments. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment of indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in land or naval forces or in the militia, when in actual service in time of war, public danger, nor shall any person be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be witness against themselves, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of the law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. And so we have lots of issues of people's property being taken without public use or just compensation. You know, I forgot what they call it, but you know, where localities take people's houses and then end up building apartments there or condos, and not paying them properly for it. And people should not be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of the law. Yeah, a lot of people are now guilty until proven innocent. I mean, and the Sixth Amendment, in all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witness against him or her, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in their favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for defense. And so, again, that's another one. You know, with the Patriot Act and indefinite detention, you know, that gets rid of a speedy and public trial, an impartial jury, to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation and be confronted with witnesses. I mean, some tattletales, you know, call in and give a tip, and they never know who their accusers are, and they're guilty until proven innocent, so they can get their house raided, and there's no warrants issued, and there's no probable cause, and there's no investigation. So that amendment's gone. Seventh Amendment, in suits at common law where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise reexamined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of common law. And a lot of these things, that guy that was put to jail for two joints for 15 years, I mean, did he have a jury? I don't think these drug laws have many juries. Eighth Amendment, excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. I mean, that guy didn't even commit a crime. I mean, and what about equal justice under the law? If half the people admitted doing the same thing as this guy does, the only way to have equal justice under law is let this guy go. Up half the people in the country, that would be just, would it not? Look at yourself in the mirror. Does that make you feel uncomfortable that that's what your tax dollars are going to? The Ninth Amendment, the enumeration of the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed or to deny or disparage others retained by the people. And that just means the Ninth Amendment clarifies that the specific individual rights stated in the Constitution, particularly in the Bill of Rights, does not constitute an explicit and exhaustive listing of all individual rights, like privacy and so on. And Tenth Amendment, the powers not delegated to the United States Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. If it's not in the Constitution, then the government can't claim any other rights that it has. The Constitution is a set of laws that gives people more rights. It doesn't take them away. And we have about 90 seconds remaining, but, you know, how many? We have 60 seconds. So out of these 10, we've gotten rid of the 10th Amendment, the 9th, the 8th, the 7th, the 6th, the 5th, the 4th, the 3rd, and we have the 1st and 2nd remaining. So, hey, 8 out of the 10 amendments are gone, and you like that. Most people do. They pray, rah, rah, let's invade another country and restrict people's rights. You know, and I'm not liberal on everything. I think we should get rid of the IRS and, you know, but I like Social Security, Medicare. Anyways, think out of the box. Think about this show. We're about out of time. We got 10 seconds, and we'll talk to you next week.
Clouds, they were rolling through the sky, and they brought down all the rain. And there was a puddle that became a pond as it gathered up so much rain.